Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
X, or as we used to know it, Twitter's Trust and Safety Council was formed in 2016, and the role of the council was to advocate for safety. And since Elon Musk took over X, we've seen several resignations from the Trust and Safety Council. Leslie Podesta was one of those who left. Leslie, welcome to Drive.
Hello, thank you.
Just let's take it back to Twitter times before Elon Musk took over. How safe was Twitter then?
It was not perfect, but we had a very active policy and a very experienced team who looked after the policies around what your obligations were if you were working, if you were part of Twitter, but also what would happen if you breached those obligations. We also had a dedicated team of people who looked at content that was flagged as problematic and took it down or gave people a warning about it. So we worked really hard to have a platform where people knew what was okay to publish and what if they did something that was wrong, what it would mean if they published it.
And when did you first notice that things were starting to change?
Immediately after Elon Musk purchased Twitter, he sacked 3,700 staff, including nearly everyone who worked on trust and safety. And three of us realised that this meant that there would be almost no content moderation. He also made a decision to allow a lot of people who we had taken from the platform, he welcomed them back onto the platform. He claimed this was a new era of free speech.
So where are we at now with Twitter in terms of safety?
I'd like to tell you a little bit about what happened after we resigned.
What happened?
Well, after we resigned, we said that we couldn't stay there because it was clear that our advice was ignored and there were the trust and safety programs were now in tatters, but there was nothing there to be able to respond to hate speech and harassment and death threats. Elon Musk decided that he was not prepared to have three women tell him that what he was doing was wrong. So he really unleashed on Twitter and on the platform his followers against us. And it's probably the most chilling thing I've ever been involved in. He also absolutely unleashed his followers on Yoel Roth, who was a gay and Jewish man who was the head of Trust and Safety, who he sacked. It's been an extraordinary period watching the power of a platform when someone who is the owner, who gets to decide the rules as they go along, who can amplify voices, particular voices, and what it means in real life when the kind of harassment that we saw on the pages actually was affected in real life as well. So after we resigned, one of the people who he allowed back on was a man called Mike Cernovich, who was a man, you probably remember this, do you remember a thing called Pizzagate during the 2016? Pizzagate was started by Mike Cernovich, who claimed that Democratic staff members were operating a child sex ring in a Washington pizza shop, which sounds, you know, ludicrous, but people turned up, including a man with a gun, to shoot people. Mike Cernovich has a very large following on right-wing media, and he's claimed that all three of us who resigned, we belong in jail. And he started to circulate rumours that we had done nothing to stop child sexual exploitation on Twitter. Anyone who knows the three of us, it's been our long-term professional work has been around protecting children, and it was, you know, particularly erroneous thing to claim. Unfortunately, what we saw was Elon Musk not only not stopping those things, but amplifying those things to his followers. So he started to amplify and publish wild, inaccurate, hateful claims against the three of us and against Yoel. In particular, he attacked Yoel. He claimed that Yoel was actively promoting pedophilia. He advertised and publicised a tweet that claimed that I was the nephew of John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's chief of staff. So after that was published, Elon Musk retweeted that and said, small world. That led to a swarming attack. At the same time, he was publishing extraordinary allegations about Yole, claiming that Yole, who had said in his thesis 16 years before that it was clear that young people were using Grindr, young LGBTQIA people were using Grindr, that it wasn't an appropriate place for children, but we had to recognise that they were there and what could we do to educate and protect them. Musk then tweeted that that Yole was actively encouraging children to be recruited onto Grindr. And it started this extraordinary campaign. We were suddenly on the front pages of the New York Post every day. This idiotic, ridiculous claim that I was part of a Democrat, US Democrats plot. I was an Australian child safety expert, happened to have the same surname. But he started to really rev up all of the QAnon people who were, had been welcomed back onto the platform. We saw a big piece on The Donald, which was a website devoted to supporting Elon Musk, and libs of TikTok who kept retweeting this. John Podesta's niece served on the council. Of course she did. Follow the white rabbit. This shit is about to get very real, they said. And while this sounds insane to all of us who live in the real world, we have to understand that there's a core belief among QAnon followers is that there's a global network of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who operate a child abuse ring, and that we were part of this and that we had silenced them for many years. Now, in one sense, all of us who live on social media know that, you know, these ridiculous swarming attacks happen.
Yeah.
But in fact, what happened, which was more terrifying, was that it happened in real life. So my name, address, contact details were circulated everywhere. There were many, many fake accounts made for me on Twitter. But worse than that was that vigilantes started to stake out Yole's house. He received numerous death threats. Kill them all, let God sort them out, was published. There was a digital hate mob that started to turn up at his house. They threatened to kill him. They tweeted things such as SpongeBob SquarePants and Patrick holding open a coffin with the caption, "Groomers get the forever box." That was a meme that went through everywhere. And what was terrifying was that no one on Twitter took action about this. Now, all of us were watching it. It was scary. Yole was had FBI and police protection. I had the AFP and the FBI involved to try to make sure nothing happened. We constantly contacted Twitter to try to get some of the most hateful and harassing things taken down. Every email, every message that I sent to them, I received a poop emoji response. Nothing was taken down. The fake accounts are kept up there for months until I finally had legal action to get.
Oh, looks like we may.
Even more importantly.
Sorry, we just lost you for 2 seconds.
It's been a wild ride. Even more importantly has been the impact since he's done this. So he's welcomed back banned users. There are no rules anymore. There is no one monitoring content anymore. He now looks at restrictions on distribution rather than removing any hate speech. Everything stays up. And the research is really clear about what the site looks like now. Slurs against Black Americans have jumped to 1,282 times a day more. Slurs against gay men have risen to 3,964 times a day. Anti-Semitic posts are at a high, and misogynistic and anti-LGBTQIA posts are unheralded. We've never seen that sort of traffic before. And really importantly as well, anyone who is publishing on this and researching this, everyone has decided that the best way to handle any criticism, including the Centre for Countering Digital Hate, which is the respected body who monitors what's happening on sites everywhere. They have forever. They're the ones we all look as gold standard. Elon's taken them to court. He's threatening to sue them for millions and millions of dollars. So not only is he without any regulation, without any guardrails. Anyone who dares speak out to say, look what's happening on this cesspit, he's got them in court and trying to sue them. And, of course, he's the richest man in the world.
We're chatting with Leslie Podesta, who formerly was on Twitter's Trust and Safety Council. Now we know it as X. Leslie, so, I mean, this paints a very, very grim picture of Twitter itself, or of X now. Is X declining in terms of the number of people that are subscribing
Absolutely.
To it?
Yes. So the latest research is that there's been a 30% drop in usage on Twitter, and X, I call it Twix.
Twix is good. I like Twix.
And that's good. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today was to really encourage all other members of our community. We don't need to be there. Mm. Brands have walked away. You know, I don't know if you've looked at it recently, but the advertisements on Twix are terrible. They're the bottom of the barrel. It's because no decent company wants to be associated with Nazis and homophobes. Mm. And I think what I would ask is, do you want your brand to be part of this either? I know that it's a lot of work to build up a following, and, you know, I had a great following too on Twitter, but there are many other sites, and they still have content moderation. They still have anti-harassment policies. They still have someone who will respond to a death threat. So I think this is the right time for all of us as our community to say, we're not going to stand for this shit. We're not going to pay this guy. We're not going to give him our content. Let's get out of this neighborhood. There are many other alternatives. And, you know, be part of it. Just today, he announced that no longer is it called Trust and Safety, his policies. It's just called Safety. Nobody trusts him. I don't trust him. I don't think you should trust him.
We just got a message in, Sue from Kensington, saying this story is so disturbing about Twitter and X. Thanks for bringing this story to us, Leslie. So it looks like the word is spreading. In terms of the other alternatives of what we can use, how does their trust and safety sit? Is it good?
I don't know. I'm not part of everyone else's. Mm. I have to say, I've seen the policies that are being used on Threads, which is the one that I'm using the most, are good. You get nudges, you get messages. It's the same policies that are around Instagram. And look, I'm not going to pretend that Instagram and Facebook are perfect. They're not. But they certainly have a better scaffolding around trust and safety than X. X is a cesspool now. And the people who are there, he's deliberately amplifying the worst of the worst, because rage and anger and engagement gets traffic. I don't want to be part of that traffic. I found a really positive community on Threads where I'm publishing now. It's much safer, it's much more civil, and it's much more thoughtful and nuanced. And you know what? As a lesbian, as a mother of a transgender person, I don't see my family trashed every day.
Mm. What are the risks of staying on a platform like X?
Yeah. Look, it means that your data is continued to be collected, and that's important. I would never give the man your credit card details, ever. But you get subject to extraordinary disinformation, because there is no one checking any of what you're seeing. So the videos, the clips that are being uploaded on Twitter now, no one is looking at them. It's an automated process. And with the incredible sophisticated rise of AI, the disinformation that we're seeing on social media now is stunning. So, you know, none of us have the time to check the veracity of everything. I'd rather be on a site where there were some experts looking at it.
Mm. Leslie, it's a fascinating story. It's a very sad story. I find it quite disturbing as well to think that a platform that, I mean, I used to use it particularly to subscribe to a lot of the news services and for getting content on radio. But I think the not being able to trust the information itself as being true, it just turned me right off it. And I thought, oh, well, we can't rebroadcast this sort of stuff anymore, because we don't know whether it's factual or not. And the one thing we want Drive to be is factual information.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, I think all of us, you know, as much as I know it can be difficult when you've got a really active account and there are people you follow and you enjoy watching, reading what they say, it's giving credibility and giving voice to people who are not there to be in our interests in the slightest. I hope that Joy gets off Twitter, and I hope that our listeners get off Twitter. There are much better places for us to be.
Leslie, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story today, as disturbing as it is.
Yep, thank you very much, and spread the word.
Thank you so much. That is Leslie Podesta, who was on Twitter's Trust and Safety Council, now known as X. You're on Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.